old school. Used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, nah, everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. Yep, he's old school. Yep, used to be a drunk dude. Businessman, now everybody love that dude. BobbyBuck.com, BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, I dare you, log on. BobbyBuck.com. Go ahead, log on. Log on. BobbyBuck.com.
Hello, y'all. Welcome to the very first show of the Bobby Buck Show. And we're about to get some things cracking here. So I want to introduce my host, Ms. Shauna Sterling.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Shauna Sterling from the Sterling Family Youth Foundation, partner with Bobby Buck. So check us out.
All right. And also I have a guest here. Her name is Angela Bazé. Did I say that last name correctly?
Bazé. Close enough.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
And I got Mr. Melvin Ismail Johnson over here with me. He got me over here on his seat now. And I got Mr. Dante Davis, Mr. Photographer, videographer, and everything else you can possibly think of, he can do it. If he can't do it, he'll figure it out and make it happen.
Thank you.
So glad to have all of y'all here for my first show and everything. So we'll try to get some things happening. And I want to let everybody know I'm Bobby Buck, and I'm originally from Arkansas, and I've been in L.A., 7 years this month. So I believe they say seven is a completion time. So it's time for me to work on things that I've been working on. Now it's time for me to complete it. So what I'm doing is creating an action movement. And the acronym for action is Acquiring Causes to Intertwine Our Nations. In other words, I want to bring all the right, like-minded people together. And I want to bring a great, positive movement to Skid Row, South LA, and global, you know what I'm saying? So, and also with Ms. Shauna Sterling, we work together, and she has her own youth foundation, and we really want to work hardcore to help her get that off the ground. So go ahead and explain what you got going to your youth foundation, Ms. Sterling.
Okay, the Sterling Family Youth Foundation was founded 3 years ago, and it was founded to bring the village back because we've lost that. And if we don't bring our village back, we're going to lose our youth. And our youth are our tomorrows. And so we have to learn to work together as African-Americans, Hispanics, Caucasian, the purple man on the moon. So we have a lot of great things that we're going to be doing as far as South Central L.A. and downtown on Skid Row for the youth and their families. The first thing we'll be working on is some entrepreneurship programs, and we also have a bully campaign program that we're trying to bring to the
board. Right, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And my main thing is doing the entrepreneurship and self-employment. And I want to get people, especially like with people like where I come from, Skid Row, being homeless and out there really on the streets, living that lifestyle and everything. And when I was out there, I was mad at first, but then I started seeing things like on a spiritual note about why I was put in place to be where I was at. And when people say you are where you're supposed to be, that's true. Even though you might not like it at that point in time, but you are where you're supposed to be. And then when I seen the things that were happening out there on San Pedro and San Julian and how people were just going through some things, and I said they need some assistance from outside of where they are. Because it's right down in the scheme of things, everything's going around the same old circle, same old circle, same old circle. And that means it's not going anywhere. So, like I said, I want to do my part to play in the movement is bring all the right people together. And everybody who has skills in certain areas, we all bring it together and just cooperate. And like I said, I want to do barter and trade advertisement and just make everything work together. And we just had another guest just stepped in, Mr. Robert Hubbard. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
All right. Let people know who you are and where you from.
Well, my name is Robert Hubbard, and I'm a small business owner. I come up out of the Skid Row area. I myself have been through the ups and downs in life. My business is called Crafty Handmade Crafts, and you can locate it at Bragg, B-R-A-G, 74560@gmail.com. And my business is based upon giving spirit, giving back to the community in which I've come from.
Right. That's right. I know I met you down there. And so how long have you been on Skid Row yourself?
Well, myself, I've been on and off of Skid Row since 1997.
Okay. Are you originally from L.A.?
Yes.
Okay, so you're born and bred here. So I know you've seen a lot of things with Skid Row, like with the transition that's happening. Do you see it getting better right now with, you know, with everybody working together, this positive movement?
Well, the positive movement, yes.
Yeah. What about the other things going on?
Well, the other things going on, such as like the harassment from LAPD and things there, it's like they're put here to protect and serve, not harassing the slave. But as we've been seeing on the news lately, it's been harassment and enslavement.
Yeah.
And they're not here for that.
Yeah.
Because the thing they're supposed to be to help the community. Right now, they're hurting communities.
It's a lot of things. I've been seeing through the videos on Facebook, too. Just a lot of things happening. And and it's like they're doing it in front of the camera, and they don't even care. So, you know, what you think about, you know, about us creating some unity and trying to fight back?
Well, first, we got to come together first.
Right.
We have to come together with a foundation. Because talk is good, but action is better.
Right on.
Say that one again.
You know, right now, they've been... And see, like the little programs they're putting out where they're hiring people off the streets to be informants and things like that. And then it's harassment because they harass a lot of probation and parolees. But they tell you this is a drug known area, but this is where parole and probation send those they get to get services from.
Yeah.
They send you downtown to them areas because when you get out, if you don't have a place to go, the first place they try to send you, the Wine Garden, Russ, or the Panama.
Right.
They'll give you a referral where? Downtown L.A. And then it's like now you have to swim yourself out of the bucket because you've been put back into the bucket.
Right.
Literally, you come home, you have no skills, no job training, no education, and they throw you back like, boom, huh, do this.
Right.
Without any support or help. So how many options do those people have?
Are there programs set up downtown on Skid Row for these people?
Well, there's program setups everywhere, but it's the fact of getting into the programs because you need identification. You have to get TB tests. So that means you come home your first week of jail, you're going to be homeless if you don't have family or burnt any bridges.
Right.
That's what a lot of parolees and probationers go through when they first get out because they don't have a plan. Look at all the everybody, okay, look at all the recovery on Skid Row.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right now. That's the main thing on Skid Row, recovery. Because there's a lot of people that's addicts down there, and when being an addict, they done burn bridges to where Skid Row is all they have to rebuild their life.
Right. And it seems like it's a real hard task to do it down there on Skid Row, because I know myself, well, I used to be a real bad alcoholic drunk, and it seemed like I'm happy that when I found Skid Row that I wasn't already drinking, because the way I was way out there with just liquor and stuff. So, and how people are on drugs, hardcore drugs, I can't even look down on that because I can imagine where I would have been. Because if I would have found Skid Row when I was drinking when I first got here, I think I would have blended on in. And I think my family wouldn't even know where I was at all. Because I was so down and depressed myself. And, you know, like talking about with Robin Williams, what happened with him, like, you know, when you're going through things and the alcohol and the drugs get inside you, that just pushes you down further. And like I said, I remember times where I used to want to wake up every morning and stuff. So I imagine, like, if I would have made it to Skid Row feeling like I was feeling, I don't think I'd been strong enough to come out of it. So some of them people are very strong, and when some of them go through things. And what about you, Mr. Dante Davis? What do you think about the situation with Skid Row?
Well, just like the brother was saying, the establishment, the law enforcement establishment, they're protecting and serving, but they're protecting and serving the interest of the capitalist system. They're not protecting and serving the interest of the people. That's why they go through Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, that's why they are able to go through and basically gentrify these areas, you know. They bring people out there and set them up for failure. And then we're surprised when they fail. It's like, how? With a system like that, I mean, it's amazing Skid Row is in a larger area than it is now.
Yeah.
It's amazing that we don't have more of this going on. But
yeah. Who knows? They might be trying to put something in the making, though. So about you, Brother Melvin, what are you thinking about the situation with the Skid Row downtown, and what do you think we might need to do to make it better?
Well, I've always said from the beginning that Skid Row, I think you have to understand that Skid Row is like a level one facility in the correctional system when they got level four and all the way down to the level one.
Yeah.
Because most of the people that works in the correctional system on that level one level, they transition from one to the other down there. I think, to me, I've always said to solve the problem of Skid Row, you need a huge amount of funds, first of all. And I always said that just like the prison industrial complex, that you have to make the homeless problem the homeless veteran problem.
Right.
By making it a homeless veteran problem and getting the federal government to subsidize, right, a think tank to come up with a plan to solve the problems for the homeless veterans and use that model, roll that model out in these, because the things that's happening in Skid Row is happening in all of these communities over the United States. You know, well, the internet really put a lot of people out of jobs. See? And we got an element that need to be retrained, that's caught up in the penal system. Like Michelle Alexander pointed out in her book, you know, The New Jim Crow, about the huge amount of African Americans, people of color that caught up in the system and all that kind of stuff. I remember when we first started working in Skid Row 8, 9, 10 years ago, they had an educational system down there. It was called the Levy Center, where they used to train people. Now, that's gone. They used to sit right in front of the Union Rescue Mission because we used to do workshops there. See? Right. So we need that. We need the religious community to get involved. Because, see, when I look at Skid Row, I've always said this, that you got two levels of things that's happening where people end up on Skid Row, right? You got the mentally ill. Right.
You're right.
They need to be around their resources in that recovery zone. And then you got the other levels of people is the people whose problem is mainly economics, you know, lack of jobs, they lost their housing, et cetera, like that. But when you come down, when they come down to Skid Row, or the reason a lot of them get stuck down there is because the high cost of real estate in L.A., when you can get a SRO housing and pay $70, $80, $90 a month, why pay that? And I mean, why pay $8,000, $9,000 outside of the Skid Row area when you can get a facility down there? To me, that's where a lot of people stay, and that's where you got that overflow of what's happening down there in that Skid Row area. So, to me, there's two levels in terms of solving the homeless problem. I mentioned the first one, which is a long-term plan in terms of making the homeless problem, the homeless veteran problem, getting the federal government to subsidize a think tank to come up with a model and then use that model to roll it out. That's a long-term plan. But the short-term plan is that you can get these religious organizations to buy or rent all of the city property that you got all over the county of Los Angeles and begin to create programs, begin to bring people back into their religious organization, whether or not they're Christian, Muslims, or Jews, or whatever like that.
Right.
And, I think we need something like that. But it's very important. And then, see, they compounded the problem when they created the whole situation that you call realignment, when they began to let out nonviolent offenders, that's just flooded the area. When you look at Skid Row now, it haven't got better. Because I'm there every day, ride through there every day, and all you have to do is just look. When you ride up 7th Street and you look at an area that used to be empty, and now when you ride through there, you see tents and people all from Main Street all the way up to San Pedro up in that area and right. All that kind of stuff. Now, I do think it takes coming together, a lot of your activist community, coming together as a unit and understanding this is one of the major problems that they have with the Occupy movement. You know, when you're dealing with a huge capitalistic business machines that got not millions of dollars, but billions of dollars, and they unified, then you got to be unified also if you're going to have any kind of chance of making any kind of sensible changes.
That's kind of what we were talking about earlier about, you know, like blood family trying to come together. We can't get blood family to come together. So how are we going to get the rest of us coming together?
So. Well, I think, then again, it has a lot to do, especially with African-Americans. See, we got to understand that we are unique from all the other ethnic populations that you have in the United States simply because we have this history of slavery, of what happened to us in slavery.
Right.
And we can't take that element out. That's a very important element in terms of our condition today, see? And I think one of the things that we got to be unified, that's why I've always liked what you was trying to do when you're talking about the whole concept of networking.
Right.
I think it's very important. We got networking for our young men, see? We got to begin to create and retrain our young men, especially the ones that got caught up in the gangs and stuff. And you have so many of them that they gave a huge amount of time. They would give these brothers, when you had the whole thing going on between the Crips and the Bloods and all that right. kind of stuff, and they catch up a little youngster, and they get this youngster 40, 50 years and all that kind of stuff. See, and we got a lot of these brothers that's coming back to the street now that reached a manhood in the system.
Right.
See, and they do 20, 25 years, and now they hitting the streets. They in their 40s, they in their 50s and all like that, and they really got a lot to contribute to this next generation, see. And I think that's very important with a lot of the old protests, marching in the street. That was good for the 60s, but we live in a whole different time now.
The technology age, you know, now.
So, yes. Yeah. And we need new techniques in terms of the most important thing is we really got to emphasize on our young people. That means we need more after-school programs.
Yeah.
We need that for the very young people. But we need job training programs for our teenagers and stuff like that to keep them from getting caught up.
And not only job training programs, because that's good, you know, work. Mm-hmm. We need to create a conglomeration of African-Americans that are willing to create business and create jobs, because that's what kind of happened with us during the integration process. We put all our eggs in the basket of getting the jobs that were provided by the establishment and not so much in creating our own jobs. See, if we had jobs for ourselves, we wouldn't have to send our young out to compete in the world because we would have something set for them like most other ethnic groups do.
Yeah, and that was...
I speak on that, but see, most ethnic groups, they stay within their group. They do business with their group.
Very true.
We are the only ethnic group is jealous and envious of each other. I don't want to do business with you because you got a Mercedes and I have an Audi.
Right.
But those are the onslaughts of the slave mentality.
But that see, in that that's situation. That's what's keeping us still in it today. It's not just the police killing black people. Black people are killing black people.
Right on. I knew
very
it.
True. Very
you
true.
Know.
Yeah.
And very true, but we can't dwell on that and kind of because some people use that as a way out for police to be able to kill our youth.
No, so
not to say you are, but a lot of people, like with the with the Mike Brown, with the Trayvon Martin, the Renisha McBride, and all these. They're like, well, you kill each other, so that makes it fine.
No, it doesn't.
And that's just the way they've been using that tactic to get. And we don't get me wrong, we have to focus on black-on-black crime, but that's a whole facade itself, black-on-black crime. It's just crime. Crime is crime.
But see, you got to understand, if we focus and start with ourselves first, and stop pointing the finger saying, this is the problem. They are the cause of the problem. No, you start with first self. When we become to understand as a race that we destroyed ourself first. Nobody did it to us. We did it to ourself.
Well,
and that's the reason why we are on the rise now. Again, but you see that there's things being done to try to hold us down and keep us down from self uniting.
Yeah, and all that can be solved by us coming past that slave mentality and getting together. I think we have it wrong when we think we're going to get all African Americans to jump on the bandwagon at the same time. We need to basically find the ones who are willing now to work towards that common goal. Find the people who have that goal set in mind, and we could work towards that.
It's not just all African American. My thing is, as a whole, as the world, that's as I believe. Us being back as leaders and kings as we first were in society. We were the leaders and the kings.
Very true.
And we did it to ourselves. We did it to ourselves. If you're a man of spiritual or religion and you read the Bible, we broke God's laws and commandments. We did. And he set it out that he would punish us. And this is the punishment that we are going through. But also, look where we come from, been through, and look where we're going. That's the thing. We're going. We're rising up now. And we need to stay positive. It's going to be a fight. It's going to be a struggle. But we need to stay positive and positive move. I understand what he says, but you got to understand, I myself am one of those guys that spent a lot of time in prison. And when you come home and you don't have a skill, nobody wants to hire you if you've been in prison 10 times. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know. They don't want to hire you. So that hurts us. And we don't have any training education programs for those that come out. We don't catch the youth while they're young, because our society, our people are caught up in the videos, the things. That's what the kids is caught up today. Who, you ask a kid what their role model is? Lil Wayne.
That's true.
Yeah.
You ask a girl who their role model is, they talking about twerking at the age of 11 and 9.
Three.
That's what I'm saying. So who is it? Nobody got us twerking. Y'all don't understand that we set standards. Look at everybody sagging their pants. And excuse my, look how the word nigga is put out there by other, nigga is put out there by other races.
And that's what I was going to touch on. A lot of the things that are quote unquote black culture are things that are not actually our culture, things that are given to us and sold to us as culture. And our problem is we accept those things. Like when they put out movies that demean us. They put out all these demeaning movies, and instead of calling them for what they are, we go watch them and we ascribe to it. And next thing you know, that becomes a part of our culture. So what we do call black culture here in America is not our culture at all. It's a contrived farce by the establishment.
But that was done with the Bible. When you talk about our culture, that was done with the Bible, the good book. But that's a whole nother subject, though. But like I say, we can only do for us. Once we start lifting us up and stop pointing the finger at this person did this, this person did that, and look at us as a people in whole and pick ourselves up. Because you got to understand, I'm not African American. I was born in America. If I can't be accepted as American, I'd rather be accepted as an Israelite.
Well, what?
Because I'm not from Africa.
What I like to say though is, you know, even though, you know, African Americans over here have a lot of distance from Africa, that particular Atlantic slave trade is still impacting what happened. I've always think one of the major problems that we're dealing with now, kind of mentioned it earlier, is that we one of the only ethnic group that don't practice group economics. See, yeah. Building your own communities, building your own educational systems and stuff like that. Now, one of the worst things that happened to us was the whole concept of integration.
Right,
see,
right.
Integration really, when we integrated into this particular society, we basically gave up the group economic concepts that we had at the time. We gave up our leadership. And that means that when you integrate into society, you accept the leadership of the society in which you integrate in. At one time, we had our own baseball teams, we had our football teams, jobs, and all that kind of stuff like that. It's a very complex problem, but it's definitely a problem that takes us sitting down and trying to get on the same page and working out a solution as a unit.
Well, I believe it all starts from home. Our kids are raising themselves, and mom is out doing whatever. She out playing Beyonce instead of being at home watching her kids. You guys mentioned all of the talk is on the men. Yes, we need our men. We need our boys to learn how to be productive men in society, but we also need our little girls to grow up as young ladies and not think that what Beyonce is doing is cute. That putting on this half nakedness, and I work at a high school, and I see the girls come to school half naked thinking that's cute and sexy. That's not cute and sexy. So, I mean, we have a lot of work on both sides. We have to teach our young men how to grow up and to be productive men. But we also have to teach our girls how to grow up and be productive women.
And that's very true because, from my frame of reference, the woman is the most important because the woman is the first teacher of our children. And if you teach the woman and you teach her the right way, she will automatically groom the children and point them in the right direction.
But you got to understand, they used that in the Willie Lynch law.
Yeah, so
they
so
used that, and they're using that today with the television still, because you got to understand, like she say, when you see these kids nowadays, 11, 12, 15, 16, they half naked walking down the street without a candy. Where's your mom at? What do your mama think about this? What do your father think about this? This is the home training that you have. See, a lot of families don't have morals, ethnics,
right,
standards anymore because of what? The stuff that's been put in society to control and destroy us, drugs, alcohol.
That's why it's called programming.
Let's get to the real fact. That's what's destroyed the black community right now in L.A., drugs and alcohol.
Well, then you ask the big question, who brought drugs and alcohol into our community?
Everybody know who brought drugs and alcohol into the community, and everybody knows that drugs and alcohol right now is still adding to the Skid Row community. Because if you don't pay your rent, you have a job. And once you get on drugs or alcohol and it goes beyond control, or what you call control, you stop going to rent. You stop being responsible. And where does that put you? Because if you talk to a lot of people that's on Skid Row, you'll come to find out there's doctors, there's lawyers, there's college-educated people on there. But they came across a point in their life, like you said, Robin Williams, where he made that choice, which was the wrong choice. We all made that choice, but we have a chance to bounce back. And it's not the white man did this or nothing like that.
Well,
we might get our stuff and tools through it, yeah. He's going to always, as long as I can poison your mind and keep you down and control you, yeah, I'm going to give you what you want. But it's us. It's up to us to say no.
Okay,
that's who it's up to.
Yeah, I got one thing. Uncle Bean. I'm glad Uncle Bean's come to the table here.
Yeah, I apologize for my tardiness.
Yeah, it's all good. But I got a caller on the line right now, but I'm going to let this caller come in and say a little something. Caller, you on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing? You doing okay?
I'm doing blessed. I'm blessed. Just listening to you guys tell and speak the truth.
All right, tell people who you are.
Anaya J. Roots.
All right, all right. And tell them where you calling from.
I'm a singer from Compton.
All right. So what you been thinking about the little topic we're talking about right now?
You know what? I have a 14-year-old daughter, and we recently went to the Pike, and I saw a lot of young girls dressed very provocative. It's kind of crazy. So it does come back down to the parenting, you know, how we are as parents. I don't believe that these parents are raising their child like their girls to have backbones these days. You know, when I was growing up, it was always about having your own backbone and keeping God on the tip of your tongue. So a lot of things have changed. There's no sense of community anymore. So that's why I love what you do, Bobby Buck. You keep the real community oriented. That's what I love what you do.
Well, I tell people what I do is I feel led. I just think God is using me as an instrument to inspire other people. And I just tell everybody, I'm not a saint. So don't think that either. But I just do what I feel like I need to do. But you said something about you're a singer, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, can I put you on the spot right now?
You sure can. You know, I was going to sing this other song, but I'm going to sing this song because this is the song I particularly wrote because we go through things, you know?
Right.
And if I didn't have the type of parents I had, I wouldn't have known that I could make it through, you know, parent supplication and everything else.
Right.
So this is a call you can make it too. I'm going to just sing a verse of it in the hood. And then, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
She steps in the mirror. Her echoes from her wall. No reflection of herself. Her being so long. Wrecking her own brain. And how she got here. Not enough self-love. No, no. To persevere. If by chance you fall down, pick yourself off the ground. We've all been there. I know that story all too well. Is it she, is it he, is it you? Is it me, yes, it's me, and it's true. Is it she, is it he, is it you? Is it me, yes, it's me, and it's true. The song is kind of long, so I'm going to just leave you with that.
Hey, so you can keep on going. Hey, I'm getting a chill. When I get a chill, I know it's real. No, I'm going to let you keep on going for about an hour. Now, we ain't got that much time, but I wish we did. So you wrote that yourself.
Yes.
Okay, but we got Uncle Bean in here. I think his ears was grooving to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Uncle Bean did the music around
here. That'd be nice for music.
Yeah, so.
Come together through music. Music is praying for the soul, you know?
Right. Well, I tell you what, I'm sure going to be getting with you. I'm probably hitting you up tomorrow to talk about some stuff. So we got to put some things together for the Skid Row fundraiser we're doing at the Vortex. It could be on October the 11th. So I got to make sure you be one of the top ones on top.
Definitely will.
All right.
Y'all have a great night, okay?
All right. Thank you very much for calling in.
Keep spreading that positive message. I love it. Feed our souls. We need that.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye. See how much time we got up here? Because I want 20 minutes. Okay. Yeah, cause I want to get to Uncle Bean on what you... I try to remember what you say. We accept, adapt.
Yeah, we accept, adapt, and adjust.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, because to the stuff that's happening, we sit back and what?
We born into it. Yeah. You ain't got no choice. You born into it. And you have to accept, adapt, and adjust. Mm. You know, when you're that baby and you're crying, come out the womb, you know, you can understand the world, but the world don't understand you. So you got to accept how the world is. You know what I'm saying? Adapt to it and adjust to it every time. All the different stages of it, you know?
So is that kind of like, you know, how us as black people, we come from not having much, but we still maintain and do a lot. With stuff around us, you know, with just everything around us, we make something out of nothing.
No, that's the whole point. They can say we make something out of nothing, but for the most part, it's natural. Naturally, you're born to survive, your will. You know what I mean? We all born to survive, your will. You know, some people give up that will. You know, again, going back to what he was talking about, the earlier conversation, the programming.
Yeah.
You know, state of mind, you know, based on programming, the way girls, you know what I'm saying, dress, the way young men behave, programming. You know, what they see, they want to be, they emulate. You know, but it's programmed, it's in repetition. Even our behaviors as adults, it's not something that we just, you know, woke up one morning and said we wanted to do. It's something that we practiced, we programmed ourselves to do, and we stick to that program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, habitual behavior.
So, like I say, as far as like trying to get out of that, what do you think it's going to take, you know, for, you know,
well, it's kind of, it's really difficult regardless of how you look at it because you don't control media.
Yeah.
You don't control media. You don't control education. You didn't lay the dynamics and the foundation for any of those things. You were born to accept and adapt and adjust to it. So that's the biggest complication of all, you know? And then once you become, you try to change certain things from within, and what's the complicated part about changing things from within? Oh, you messing up the order or the design, kind of like in the Matrix. You messing up the design.
You in the way. You must be removed.
You know what I mean? Right.
That's how it is with the system. If you are in the way of the system, you will be removed from the system. Like you say, it is like the Matrix.
Yeah.
You know, those that have really lived life know that it's a set course. It's a system. That's like downtown. That's a system. All of that's set up. That is set up. All of that's set up into a system. It's a system that's set up, and if you don't sit into the system, you're going to be removed from the system. And those that have made it out of the system, they don't want to come back to the system. Because you got to imagine, if you've ever been down there, depressed, down and out, to the people that's like that, that's hell.
Yeah.
They in hell right now. Because they've gave up all hope on life and loving they self, number one. They gave up on they self, number one. To even to be able to step, to lay down and go to sleep on the concrete. To stop going to work, to stop striving. That's like as a man. A man is taught to survive and provide for his family by all means necessary. And for those that have given up, that's like I took and showed my 12-year-old son. I said, these are the people that give up on life. I was one of them. I gave up on life. But God just wouldn't let me stay laid down.
Right, right.
You know, when he wants you to move, he move. Get up, move, go, do.
Right.
You know, and it's some people that's going to make it out of there. That's meant to make it out. And those that's not, they're going to be there. Because that's where they want to be. We all have will, free choice.
Right.
That's one thing God gave everybody, choice. We can choose to do the right thing or we can choose to do the wrong thing. But also remember, then comes Newton's law. For every action, there is a reaction. You do something negative, you get negative results. You do something positive, you get positive results.
Yeah, it's true. I believe you on that because I'm a testimony of doing everything positive. Like, when I was out there homeless, someone led me to keep doing what I was doing toward where I am now. And I remember OG kept saying, you cannot keep on doing good and it don't come back and get you. He's like, you keep on doing bad, it's going to come back and get you.
That was a good OG impression.
Voice and memory.
Oh, I've been around him too long, huh?
Yeah.
But, rubbing you know off saying? On you.
But all that, you know what I'm saying? It all revolves around accepting, adapting, and adjusting. You know? Because even out myself, you know what I'm saying? I accepted and adapted, adjust to the community in which I grew up in, come to the Skid Row community, you know what I'm saying? you have no choice. Again, you know what I mean, you have to accept, adapt, and adjust with American society. You know what I'm saying? America's economy. You know, all this, you have to accept, adapt, and adjust.
Right.
It's basically no way around it. You know what I'm saying?
I would have to beg to differ on that, because I think that's been our problem, is investing everything we have into this society and basically negating our own. Like when you said, when we invested with
immigration. Can I ask a question? One question to interrupt you when you beg to differ. Are you going to stop paying your bills?
That's what I'm in the process of doing. That's what I'm in the process of doing.
You're going to stop paying all your bills?
Yeah, because I bought a house. I bought a house in Arkansas. For $5,500. I own it 100%. I'm in the process of getting solar panels, getting my garden, and getting things underway where I can eject myself from the system.
But you still gonna have to pay property taxes.
That's $128 a year. So isn't that a small, that's a microscopic percentage of what I would be paying in the system? And that's what I'm saying. It's step by step, though.
Another question.
Something we're going to do all at one time. Go ahead.
You own the house, but do you own the land?
Yes. Yes.
But was the land passed down through family?
No, nope, it's mine. I just bought it. I purchased it. I own it 100%.
Okay. And so...
You know, it's a big difference between owning the house and owning the land.
I own the house. I own the land. The whole lot. Yes. And it's big enough that I could build another house on the lot, so... You know, there is a way. That's why I was begging to differ, because I think that's our way out. Is
to buy the land.
Ejecting from the system. Because there was a point after slavery, there was a time where we owned 400,000 acres of land here in America. Now we own 70-something thousand. So that's a huge decline.
Well, you got to imagine, if they give every person of color, they 40 acres and a mule, what America would be.
They don't even have that to give anymore. That's the funny part.
Okay, then. It's like this. Like, okay.
So we have
like
to get out there and
you're
see
stepping
it.
Out of the system, right? So what kind of system are you stepping? Because once you step out of one system,
you have to create another.
What will make your system better than the system that we're already battling?
And I think any system is better than the system we're in now, actually, from that perspective.
But you say you beg to differ, but still at the same time, you still had to go through the proper challenges, fill out the proper documentation when you
bought
that property.
To stay in the system. And long as you pay them $128 a year, still in the system because you are on paper and record.
But am I investing as much into the system as someone who pays $900 rent a month,
matter.
Who pays $300-$400 electricity
and
water bills?
You still accepted and adapted. You still accepted and adapted.
We're going to get another show on this one right here. That next show, we got to pick up where we left off. So I got another caller on the line. Hello, caller. How you doing? You may speak.
Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
So who are you?
I'm Lisa. I'm calling all the way from Arkansas.
All right, what part of Arkansas? What part?
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
That's where I'm from. That's where I just came from. That's
all right. So how you doing tonight?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Thank you. Blessings. Unfortunately, we can't hear the broadcast live, but we tried.
Okay.
I really don't have anything to add to the topic. I just wanted to say that we did try to, again, hear the broadcast. We were able to hear some of your previous topics and some of the great things that you all are trying to do in terms of promoting just awareness in the community out there. And I did want to say that you all are doing wonderful, wonderful things in terms of promoting this community awareness and spreading the word out there in terms of the needs and things of that nature out there to the community, especially targeting the young people out there. And great, great things that you all are doing. And keep up the good work. If you don't know, people are listening, especially someone like me out here in good old Hot Springs, Arkansas, middle of nowhere.
So you as Kiara right there with you?
She is.
Okay. How you doing, Kiara? It's my daughter back there. How you doing? She gonna talk.
How you doing?
She want to talk.
Tell her to say hi.
Yeah, and I'll let y'all know that Lisa Washington here is a real angel for me because she's took in my daughter and helped her groom her for through high school and get ready for college. So she's an angel in my heart. So I really appreciate everything, too.
We still have those out there, and there's one.
Yes. Like I say, I would try to stand up and get on one knee, but I got one bad, so that made it all worse. Yeah, but tell Kiara she got to get on next time.
Okay.
You need to at least say hi.
Tell her to say hello. It'll be on the first show. Well,
tell her to say hi.
She is moving around. you know your daughter.
I know. But Kiara, I love you anyway. You don't want to talk to your daddy on the air live. It's okay. I still love you. All right.
Well, you all be blessed, and again, keep doing what you're doing.
All right, thank you very much.
Blessings.
All right.
Good night. All right, I'm trying to see, boy, that's a quick show. I'm trying to get one more person in to do a song. Is your song ready? Is it ready to go? Miss Angela Bache?
Number 12.
Bache.
So I'm here tonight to support Bobby vocally, but I will be back because I do have some answers to some of the issues that have been spoken of tonight.
Uh-oh.
In respects to business ownership, creating opportunities.
Right.
For all ages, actually. So okay. I will be back. And
all right.
We will.
That's a blessing.
We're going to make sure. Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'm going to do this one because I have to dedicate this to my mom, first show.
Okay.
This is her song.
Right on.
It's sad to think we're not going to make it. And it's gotten to the point where we just can't fake it. For some ungodly reason, we just won't let it die. I guess neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye. I keep on wondering what I'm gonna do without you. And I guess you must be wondering that same thing too.
October the 11th at the Vortex on Santa Fe and Olympic. Miss Angela Bajet?
Yes.
Ah, I got it right. Miss Angela Bajet will be there with the Positive Skid Row movement and everything. So, hey, we'll come to the end of the show. So I want to get everybody a chance to say who you are and how people can get in contact with you. So we'll start with you, Mr. Uncle Bean.
Yo, you can. My name is Uncle Bean. I'm a recording artist, small business owner, writer, all that good stuff. You can go to UncleBean@yahoo.com, Gmail, UncleBean.4T.com. Everything Uncle Bean, just Google Uncle Bean.
And How's it spelled?
Oh, yeah. You spell it UNKAL. Again, UNKALBEAN, Uncle Bean. Bless.
All right.
Yes, my name is Robert Hubbard. I'm a small business owner, community activist, and my business is called Crafty Handmade Crafts. I do mirrors, gift baskets, and I do t-shirts. And you can contact me at Bragg, B-R-A-G, 74560@gmail.com. Or you can contact me at 424-266-2444. And I enjoyed coming on the show, and I definitely will be back again, Bobby. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we're just getting started.
I am Angela Bajet, and I'm an independent contractor with ERS Life and Elite. So if you have a insurance license, life insurance license, real estate, or mortgage, do call me at 424-200-9315. If you have aspirations to be trained in any of those $3 trillion industries where the money is now, please give me a call, Angela Bajet, at 424-200-9315.
Yeah, Melvin Ishmael Johnson. Tune in every Monday night at 8 o'clock for the Coon Round Report right here. And if you free Sunday, come out to our event about Marcus Garvey. We'll be celebrating Marcus Garvey's birthday this coming Sunday at 7 o'clock at Chaos Network up in Leimert Park, 4321 Leimert Park. Come on out and check out, celebrate Marcus Garvey's birthday.
Right. Dante Davis, photographer, videographer, community activist. You know, if you like to reach me, you can just add me on Facebook, Dante, D-O-N-T-E, Davis, or contact me directly at 501-262-8413.
And I'm Shauna Sterling, co-host and business partner with BobbyBuck.com from the Sterling Family Youth Foundation. For more information, you can go to BobbyBuck.com.
Yeah, you can do the same thing for me, too. Nah. But BobbyBuck.com, my number is 213-293-7983. And also, if y'all want to start supporting what I do, go to BobbyBuck.co, that's C-O. And check me out. And I think we had a real good show tonight. And everything good?
Really enjoyed it.
Oh, yes. If y'all want to get this show, y'all can download it on SkidRowStudios.com. Get on it and get it.
All right.
Log on to BobbyBuck.com. BobbyBuck.com. Log on to BobbyBuck.com. 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 BobbyBuck.com.